Welcome once again to Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. Thank you for getting us to 150 subscribers on YouTube. Then it was back to 149, then 150, and then 149 again. Someday I'd like to get to 152. Then I'll know 1,000 is just around the corner. What am I talking about? Just keep subscribing. Thank you. And if you haven't joined us over on Patreon, what are you waiting for? You've been missing some good stuff, such as this week's exclusive content, a special dumb birthday game theme only heard once, maybe twice, on WBZ. Get on over and enjoy the fun. Today, we will feature a dumb birthday game from April 16th, 1993, which is aptly titled Funny Booties, Best Friends, and Mooney. We immediately begin the game right away, you betcha, by introducing the players. Mike in Medford, the highly enthusiastic and lipless Debbie from Wellesley, Chris in Webster, lamenting his choice of playing, Robert from Everett, wearing a bunch of old makeup. I'm producing and in studio, and Jack Hart in traffic. Celebrated days of birth. Sir Peter Ustinov, Dusty Springfield, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Henry Mancini, Bobby Vinton, and Edie Adams. And we get a Dayton history question. What year did Fibber McGee and Molly premiere on NBC Radio? Other taxing situations. Got the taxing reference because of this. Okay. The Robert and Wolfie grudge match on pay-per-view. Sympathy for the dying phone. Springfield, Malden, and Chelsea. Lame apologies. Robert's mysterious wife. Not knowing. WJOK, the jokes of your life. Perforating your gums with the phone. Here he comes, riding across the plains with jokes of yesteryear. It's the Lone Arranger. Norm's best years are behind him, and it's too bad his last show sucked. Yeah, based on that last joke, too, right? Timing or lack thereof? Does Medicare cover radio-related emotional problems? Weldon in Michigan is mentioned. Gentle breezes and asking Ma. A commercial for 6 degrees of separation at the Schubert Theater. And Norm plots revenge on me, Tony. Plus, a freaky family secret is revealed. Episode 134, Funny Booties, Best Friends, and Mooney chuckles its way to your ears now.
That's what it is. It's exactly that. It's the dumb birthday game, and what a panel. Let's meet them right off. These are the folks who will guess the ages of people born on April 16th, which is this very, very date. April 16th, my taxes were due the 15th. Okay, this is Mike, who's in Medford. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Norm, how you doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good, thank you. It's nice to have you with us. Gee whiz.
You're doing a great job tonight, Norm.
Okay, thank you.
You're the best.
Hey, you're okay. I want you watching to meet Debbie, too. She's a cutie from Wellesley.
Alrighty.
Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
Have you met Mike from Medford?
No.
You think you'd like to meet Mike?
Sure, why not?
Oh, that doesn't sound...
Norm, I'm too young, probably, for...
Yeah.
How old are you?
Yeah. She doesn't sound terribly enthusiastic. Yeah, what do you get enthusiastic about, Debbie?
Anything.
Oh, you do? Okay, you just don't show it so much. Okay, because you're kind of low-key. Laid back, we hip guys say. Okay, we have Chris, who's in Webster out near Worcester. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Norm?
I'm just fine. Is this your first try at this?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to have you with us. You must be terribly excited.
Oh, yeah, terribly.
Yes. And we have a lot of young folks and one very, very old, decrepit person who's suffering from loss of his mind, and that's Robert
Hi,
from
Norm.
Everett.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was me.
Hello, Robert.
No, I'm held over. I'm held over. Oh, this is the first time in years I'm held over. Oh God. My God, you made my day.
Robert, don't make us regret this.
No, I promise you.
Okay.
I'm held, though. I got makeup on and everything.
Okay.
This okay. is a big time,
oh,
you know.
Oh, shut up.
Norm Nathan Show.
Shut up. Just shut up, Robert. Okay. Tony Nesbitt, of course, is with us, a WBZ crack producer who was with us earlier on the Dumb Music Quiz game, now with the Dumb Birthday game.
Yeah. Will you ever forgive me for putting Robert on the game, Norm?
I'm not happy about it.
I know.
I will.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike will. Okay. And, of course, we have Jack Hart, who's with us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Robert says he's wearing makeup. Does it go with the dress that he's wearing?
Oh, no. Jack is the funniest guy in the whole world.
Do you think
Mark
so?
My word, he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Jack, I have a lot of old makeup. I have a lot of old props. I have a lot of everything. Makeup, everything. Uh-huh. 8x10. Jack, you can have them.
Oh, thank you. No, I've got
he is funny. Jack is funny.
He's funny. Oh, you're funny. You're funny.
He's funny. Hey, Norm.
You're very funny, Jack. Yes.
Who's worse, Robert or Wolfie?
Who's worse? Boy. I'd like to see them in a grudge match together myself.
Yeah,
I'd pay good money to see that.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I don't know. That's like saying, do you want to die through electrocution or through hanging? You know, I don't know that there's much choice either way.
You think it's possible maybe to have some kind of pay-per-view event?
Oh, no.
Having them each battle each other in some manner?
Yeah. Who can really tick you off more?
Well, I don't know. Wolfie's a wild one.
You think
Wolfie's very funny.
He's funny. He's really funny. Okay.
Tony's my buddy.
I'm his buddy.
His buddy.
I'm his funny buddy.
Yeah, you're his buddy, and Wolfie is funny.
Debbie.
And Jack is funny. Oh, okay.
Debbie, you want to go out?
Oh, jeez. Oh, isn't that? There's something sick about that.
Oh,
that isn't even funny. That's just sick.
You got a pretty voice.
Yeah, well, you have it, so just try to keep it still as long as you can. Speak only when it's absolutely necessary, which may not ever be. Anyway, born on this day was Peter Ustinov, Sir Peter Ustinov.
Oh, is it sir now?
It is sir. I guess that's what it says here.
Yes, sir.
Born in London, England, he won an Oscar for supporting actor in 1960 in Spartacus. You wouldn't have thought anybody would win anything for Spartacus. What a dog of a movie that was.
Really? You didn't think that was...
You know something? I'm talking like a typical disc jockey. Just shooting off of the mouth. I never even saw Spartacus. No. I don't even know. Maybe it was great. Was it great? Was it a great movie?
I thought so, yeah.
Well, then I'm wrong.
That's pretty good.
Hey, guy's got a right to be wrong.
You're never wrong, Normie.
You're okay, guy. And he also... he won an Oscar... nomination also for supporting actor in an Oscar nomination, he won an Oscar, actually the Oscar itself, also 1964 for Topaki.
So in back to back ones, 63 and 60.
No, it's 1960 for Spartacus.
Oh, 60, okay.
1964 for Topaki. Yeah,
and I never saw Topaki.
I never saw Topaki or Spartacus.
What were the dates again, Norm?
1960 for Spartacus.
All right.
And 1964 for Topaki. You're very sharp, see, because you're listening for dates which give you a clue as to the age of somebody. He also was in that Agatha Christie thing. You know, the Orient Express, Murder on the Orient Express.
Sure.
Wasn't he? He was the guy with the slick down hair and stuff, the detective. Anyway, he's been in a lot of stuff. Very bright man. And we'll start with you, Mike, from Medford and his orchestra. How old do you think he is today, Peter Ustinov?
I will say 81.
81, okay. And Debbie?
of course, she doesn't know precisely.
You ever hear of Spartacus, Debbie?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
that was ever hear of Spartacus?
That was before I was born.
Agatha Christie?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Oscars?
I never heard, no, that was before I was born. I never heard of Franklin Roosevelt, that was before I was born. I personally never heard of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. They were both before I was born. So what do you think, Debbie? How old is Peter Ustinov? Could you talk right into the phone, maybe just use a little bigger voice?
She's shy.
78. Were you talking more into the phone that time?
Yeah. Oh, I don't have one response going last too because my phone is dying.
Your phone is dying?
Oh, we better buy a new one.
Wow.
That's really...
Yeah, because it's really hard to hear you.
I'm so sorry I made fun of you, Debbie. I didn't know that something tragic like that was happening in the family.
What do you send? What kind of a sympathy card do you send to somebody
Tokyo.
Whose phone is dying?
Oh, I don't know.
To you, Debbie, in this moment of grief as your phone dies in your arms, as you cradle it.
Get it? Cradle it?
Cradle it. That's kind of a Jack heart kind of line.
Everybody played Taft.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm going to say 84.
84.
Yeah, you know, they tried to save her phone, but they just couldn't push all the right buttons.
Oh. They had to get a court order to find out whether or not they could pull the plug.
And the only soap that Debbie uses is Dial. So.
Didn't Debbie guess an age?
Pardon me?
Didn't Debbie guess an age?
Yeah, 78.
Yeah, she said 78.
Okay.
But her phone is dying, so it's kind of hard to hear it.
All right.
However, I read lips. Unfortunately, Debbie does not happen to have any lips. But, and Robert, how old do you think Peter Ustinov is?
75 years old.
75 years old? Okay. Very funny. That's very funny. Okay. So, Tony, what do you think?
I'm going to have to say 69.
69. And what are you going to have to say, Jack?
71.
71. Hey, I think you come the closest.
Ooh.
He's 72 years old today.
Son of a gun.
You said 71. Nobody said 73. So, therefore, you win that round, big guy.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of funny. Did you know how old he was, or you're just guessing?
Well, I had an idea of how old he was, roundabout area.
Oh, sure.
Jack knows everything.
Jack's
a walking encyclopedia.
Okay. Is Jack your buddy, Robert?
That's right, he's his buddy. My best friend. He's my best friend. He's my buddy.
I love it.
How about the Dusty? Whatever happened to Dusty Springfield anyway? She was born Mary.
Probably got vacuumed up or something. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was just thinking maybe she married. Who could she have married? No. I'm thinking.
Well, we do know that she was one of those women who, in her earlier life, used to use her initial instead of her first name. She used to be N. Dusty Springfield.
What does that mean?
I don't feel so bad for my son.
Does that mean something that's escaping me? N. Dusty Springfield?
Yeah, like her first name may have been Nancy or something.
N. Dusty.
And N. Dust is a dust product.
It's a product, N. Dust, I see.
It wasn't meant to be humorous. It was just one of those.
Oh, it was a plug. That's what it was. It was a plug, wasn't it?
Yes. Now, that was really nice, the way you did that. It was really nice.
I'm glad he admitted that it wasn't supposed to be humorous. Take away some of the pain.
I just found that out through an investigative report.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it wasn't funny.
It wasn't funny. Okay, Jack, while I have you on the line, how old do you think Dusty Springfield is, who's not very funny? How old is she today?
Let's see. 48.
Do you think Dusty Springfield married Carl Malden and they had a daughter named Chelsea? No, I didn't think so either. I just a wild guess. 48, says the funny Jack Hart. Tony Nesbitt, what do you think?
I heard this joke the other day.
Dusty
about
Springfield in mourning on its way over to Chelsea? I'm just trying to put that all together.
Oh, Ken Malden.
Well, do it quietly, will you?
Not Ken Malden. Carl Malden. Married Carl Malden. Had a daughter, Chelsea. I don't know.
Can I tell my joke?
Yes.
Someone told me this the other day. What do the Clintons and Massachusetts have in common?
What do the Clintons and Massachusetts have in common? I have no idea.
Well, they both have ugly Chelseas.
Hey, I got a joke too.
Wow! Yeah.
I didn't make it up.
You're picky, but you told the joke. I know.
And
she's a nice little kid.
Is.
I mean, why pick on a little?
I got a great joke.
I'm sorry. Oh,
gee, that's awful. You have a great joke. This is Chris.
No, Michael.
Mike, I'm sorry, Michael.
Michael's got a great joke.
Okay, Michael.
Okay, what does Waco stand for?
Oh, wait. Someone told us this.
Yeah, well, somebody did tell us this the other day.
We ain't coming out.
Yeah.
We ain't coming out. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Who are we guessing? Dusty Springfield is, I think she has hit the big 50.
Wow.
50.
I have.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. No. Okay. Her big hit was You Don't Have to Say You Love Me.
In 51 in
1966 is when she recorded it.
I'll stick with 50.
50. Okay. And Robert, how old do you think that Dusty Springfield is?
She's close to both. 48, because she married the guy that with the card. Is that the guy with the card that says don't leave home without it?
Well, I made that part up, you see. I was doing stand-up. Oh, I was doing shtick. How old do you think she is?
48.
48. Same. You're gonna say
he's a gentleman, you know that.
Yeah?
Yeah, he is a gentleman.
He's on that program with all the actors and everything.
Yes, yes,
oh,
he is.
That
yes,
program.
Yes. Well, that program, yeah.
It's a very funny program.
Yeah, it is a funny program. He's got a lot of actors there.
But he's making a lot of money.
A lot of money. Yes, a lot of money.
Drives me crazy. All these years I worked and nothing, man. Nothing comes in.
Nothing much went out either.
Including his wife, who stays away as much as possible.
Is she taking care of
I'll stay with 48.
Is she taking care of her mother right now?
Oh, you better believe it, boy.
So she's in a different apartment.
Oh, no. We have two apartments, one on one side, one on the other.
No, but
on the
but
third floor.
She's not
24 hours a day.
She's not home with you right now.
No, she's next door. She's 24 hours a day.
She's always next door. She's
it's
never
it's
with
that.
This guy.
No, she's here back and forth. I'm there next up.
Yeah, of course.
She's a good old lady. You should call her some night. Norm.
Yeah, I'll call her one night.
We
sure.
called
Red,
it. We called
everybody
it.
Knows her.
Yeah.
You should call
her. I know her.
I'll call
you
her.
You know what the type of lady she is?
Shut up. Shut up. Will you be quiet?
She doesn't have a driver's license. She wants to get in my car and drive it. 84 years old.
No, you know, he's worth
bless her heart.
Chris.
My wife's
Tony,
to you right now. My mother-in-law
Tony,
I'll
get you, I'll
say
get
hello,
you for
Gene.
This. I'll get
hello,
you for
Gene.
This, Tony.
Norman, say hello, Gene.
Oh, will you just be quiet? Chris,
she loves you.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Yes. Chris, how old do you think Dusty Springfield is?
I'm going to say about 51.
51, okay. Debbie, what would you think if Robert turned out to be your real grandfather? Wouldn't that be enough to make you want to leap
even
off
the... Even if it was a fake grandfather.
Oh, hi, Granddad. Ooh, you're very funny.
I'm not a grandfather, but I play one on TV.
Yeah. Debbie, what do you think? Dusty Springfield.
Who's 51. That?
Pardon me?
51.
51, talking into a dead telephone. We got a lunatic in Everett. We got a lady talking into a dead phone.
Hey, Normie, I'm just fine, right?
You're excellent.
Thank
you're
you.
Excellent. Mike, what do you think? Dusty Springfield.
53.
Well, you come the closest because you're okay. She'll be 54 years old.
Wow.
Well, she is 54 years old today. And
like I said, she hit the big 50 4 years ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, that's okay. Yeah.
Hey, 53, 48, that's not too bad for an old-timer.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I know his brother, Kareem Abdul-Garelnik.
Hey, you see him in the eye?
What's that?
What?
Let me give you a little background on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Maybe there'll be some dates that'll help you put it in perspective, because he's not retired, as you know.
Is he a hockey
basketball.
Player?
Pardon me, please?
Yeah. Hockey player?
No.
Hockey player to play the game.
Yes, right. He's a retired basketball star who retired from hockey. The only
who used to be known as Lou Alcindor.
That's right. Ferdinand Louis Alcindor Jr., born
hey,
in New York. Yes, sir.
Didn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play tennis?
He did, too. He played tennis.
Yep.
Yeah, he played that, too. He played a lot of games. Yeah, he was very good at a lot of things.
Pinochle.
On April 4th, 1980...
Cribbage on Sundays.
On April 4th, 1984, he broke Wilt Chamberlain's all-time NBA regular season scoring record of 31,419 points. And early in 1985, he broke the record for most points scored in a professional basketball game. At age 40, he averaged 14.6 points a game, and at the age of 52, came close to strangling Robert from Everett.
Yeah, you give the man's age away.
No, I didn't. I just made up a number, and that's not his age.
I know how old he is. He's
I just came
years.
Up with that. I'll take the first guess.
He's 36 years old.
36 years old.
That's pretty tough to do.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
36 when he was... 40 when he got those points.
Yeah.
That's something.
That's right, too. It says at age 40, he averaged 14.6 points a game, and he lost 4 points from his age at the same time. Mike, what do you say?
Speak up, Mike.
Huh?
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Robert. Okay.
Tell the truth, Mike.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with 44.
44. Okay. And Jack, what do you say?
45.
And Debbie?
Do you know who he is, Debbie?
And what's that sport that they keep on talking about?
You don't know who?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He wears number 33.
He wears number what?
33.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Bird.
Yeah, one of the greatest of all basketball
second
players,
greatest.
Debbie.
Wait a minute.
Name? Yes?
Second greatest. Larry Bird was the best.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I didn't say he was the best. He was certainly one of the best all-time basketball players. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I got to put him right up there. What do you think, Debbie? Do you know who he is? Are you all right, Debbie?
Hey, Debbie. Did you see him in the new Shaquille O'Neal commercial?
No.
Oh, I thought that would help her.
Nice try, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit for that, though.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Debbie? Did you guess his age?
46. I don't know.
46, I don't know. You know who he is, though.
No, she doesn't. She.
I think I've heard of him.
But... Oh.
Yeah. Okay, Tony, what do you think?
Who are we talking about? I don't know.
I've lost track.
Come on, Tony, you know.
Yeah, I've 44 sounds good, Mike.
44, the same as what Mike said.
Yeah, I think that's
okay. Cool. And what do you say, Chris?
I'm going to say 45.
It's kind of hard. Well, you all were very, very close, except Robert from Everett, of course. But he's never been close to anything in his life, I tell you, including especially his wife.
Yeah.
Debbie hit it right on the button.
He's what?
He's 46.
He's 46.
He's 46.
Now?
Exactly what Debbie said. 46.
Wow.
Got
it. Well, you said you said 44, and Jack and Chris, and also Mike said 44, but and Chris and Jack said 45. You all are very close.
So I lost by 10 years.
That's correct. 10 years older than what you said.
Yeah, but Robert, you tried though, so that's all.
I always try. Never give up.
Okay, try this one, Henry, and not you first this time, because I'll call on you just a second, Robert. This is Henry Mancini.
Oh, I know him. I know him.
Yeah. He's a.
That's a musician. Guy writes music.
You do know him.
Oh, you do know him. Like, that's the greatest. That's one of the greatest. Henry Mancini.
One of the greatest? Did he really say one of the greatest?
Oh, come on. The man's a genius.
Jeez.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah?
He's worse than Wolfie.
Yeah, told you.
Yeah.
But I keep trying, Jack.
Okay, he was born in Cleveland. His biggest hit, Love Theme from Romeo and Juliet in 1969.
Oh, I thought it would have been the theme from the Pink Panther.
He wrote many hits, including Moon River. He did do the Pink Panther. He's in third place behind Sir George Salty and Quincy Jones with the most Grammys, 20.
Wow.
20 Grammys.
One of the best.
A few years ago, he wrote viewer mail music for David Letterman.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
No kidding.
Viewer mail theme.
Oh, really?
And he came out with a little orchestra.
That's funny. I didn't realize
dun,
that.
Dun, 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 dun.
I thought only Paul Schaefer sort of made that up at the spur of the moment or something.
Oh, the other night
Mancini showed up.
The other night they had, have you seen their new attraction, P-Boy?
P-Boy, yeah.
They actually got
Marvin Hamlisch.
To write a song about P-Boy.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's great. Hey,
I'm glad I shared that with you.
Yeah, you're a nice person. Despite the fact that Robert could hear it also, that's the only drawback.
Now, the only theme I wish they'd come up with was one for Peggy the Foul-Mouthed Chambermaid. We'll be all set.
Hey, Chris, what do you think? How old do you think Henry Mancini is?
I'm
going to
say
50. You sound like your phone's dying, too.
No.
Okay.
My phone cord's just coming out.
Oh, there you are. I can hear you clearly now. Okay. Tony, what do you say? How old do you think he is?
71.
And Mike?
Henry Mancini.
One of the greatest. One of the greatest.
Greatest, yeah.
The greatest.
Greatest is one.
What did Tony say? 71?
Yeah.
I'll go with 65.
65.
Yeah.
Okay. And Robert?
I have to go with 75.
75.
74.
74. That's funny. 74. Is your mouth out of shape? Is that why you talk the way you do? 74.
He's got a pickle caught in his throat.
Yeah. 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 My lips keep curling up. I can only see 40 and 74.
And booty.
75.
Booty and booty. Booty.
Harry Mancini is one of your booties, isn't he? Love it.
No, no. Because
he's one of my booties.
He's the only one that conducts an orchestra.
They
don't have orchestras today.
No, they don't. That's true.
That's true.
I just was talking about that to Seiji Ozawa just the other day, and he said, Norm, they don't have orchestras anymore. Anyway, Jack.
He's an arranger and everything.
Jack's next.
Yeah, I wish he played the thing is, Tony's an arranger, too, and arranged to have you on the program. And
he is the greatest Tony.
Oh, my God. He's going to get his comeuppance for this tell you, man.
As a matter of fact, Tony's that he used to work
Leave
in a
Tony
financial
alone.
Institution.
Nice anyway.
He was the loan arranger.
Tell him the truth.
Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear Jack Hyde use the joke that we stopped using when we reached the age of 5? He's still using it. That's incredible. That's incredible, Jack.
Could you get the memory?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I was being nostalgic.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Jokes that maybe you've forgotten about, but that we want to bring them back for one more time.
Sure. You can open up a radio station, the jokes of your life.
Yes. Now, how old do you think Henry Mancini?
Okay.
Yeah. How old do you think Henry Mancini is?
72.
72. Okay. What do you think, Debbie? I won't even ask. How old do you think Henry Mancini is? What would you say?
Do you know who he is? Have you ever heard of the Pink Panther, Debbie?
Yeah. Are you all right, Debbie? Just get close to the phone. Speak up just a little bit,
mouth
okay?
Mouth to mouth to the phone, Debbie.
Yeah.
Bring it back to life.
Even if you have
to... talking to her agent.
If you just put as close to your mouth as you can, even if you perforate your gums, just so long as we can hear you. Okay, speak up and tell us what you think. 69.
Nice number.
Okay. Actually, you know something?
No,
That's how old Henry Mancini is.
Yeah.
I think your mother is telling you the answers, isn't she?
She's sawing wood.
She's sawing wood.
Wow, in her sleep.
Boy, there's another one, a phrase of yesteryear. Eh? She's sawing wood.
See, with the Lone Ranger, we have to talk about yesteryear.
Oh,
he comes
man.
Riding out of the plains with jokes of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger.
Oh, this is really awful. You know, you all have to understand this.
And it's horse booty.
you have to understand this. I am well along in years, and I've been in broadcasting for a number of years. My best years are behind me. This will be 49 years next month.
Wow.
Okay, now here's why I bring this up. I bring this up because I don't have that many years ahead of me in broadcasting.
You've got a lot of years.
You know, no, I may not even have another. I may not even have another week. Who knows if the management's listening?
You've got it.
I don't
got it. You'll make it.
Will you
shut me.
I had just turned him down. Hold on a minute. What I'm saying is, I don't want to go out with this kind of a program. I don't want people to remember me. Did you hear his last program? Boy, did that suck. I don't need that, you know?
Norman,
shut up. Will you shut up? I just want to go out some kind of glory, not even a blaze, maybe a little flicker of glory, something. I don't want to go out with Robert from Everett being on my very last program.
Don't say that, for God's sake.
Oh, there he is again.
Who am I going to talk to?
He's like a mosquito.
I was just going to say
squash him out. Just squash him out.
He's in your ear there, and he just keeps...
And
you can't get back to sleep. You got to turn the light on and kill it, or you just won't be able to get back to sleep.
Hey, you know, exactly. Bobby Vinton. who's known as the Polish Prince.
Yes, I know him.
Oh, nobody asked you. Who cares whether you know anybody? Nobody knows you. Nobody wants to know you.
He comes from Philadelphia.
He comes from Philadelphia. That's right. He comes from Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania, actually.
Well, close by Philly.
His biggest hit, Roses Are Red.
Right, right.
Oh, shut up. Will you shut up?
He did that show.
Roses Are Red. He did that in 1962. From 1962 to 1972, he sang more number one hits than any male vocalist.
Wow.
He began his career as a clarinetist and as a band leader.
Right, right. I worked with him in Jersey. Right across the river from Philadelphia, across the George Washington Bridge. Whitman Bridge. Or I don't know.
And you were wearing
some
a jersey?
Bridge you crossed over to Jersey.
Okay.
He is good. This kid is good.
Okay, let's start with Mike. Mike, if you can just talk loud enough, you'll talk right over this person. How old do you think Bobby Vincent is today?
Hey, at least I got a good phone, you know. So,
yeah, what the heck? You can always make calls, other calls, you know.
Mikey's 52.
What?
Hey, Robert, just be quiet, okay? Just try to simmer down, you know?
Norm, is it my turn?
Timing is everything, Robert.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, it's knowing when to be quiet is part of the humor of things.
It's like stepping on your
line. Shut up. Mike, what do you think? How old is... What did you say? Bobby... I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm going crazy. I'm going mad. What do you think?
I know. I got a headache from listening.
I know it. In my case, I don't know whether Medicare takes care of emotional problems like this.
I know. I'm going to say 61.
61, okay. And Debbie?
67.
Talking to Debbie is like taking a hearing test. And flunking.
Raise your hand when you hear it.
That's right.
What ear it's in.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
Right ear? Left ear.
And Chris,
you want the red apple on the table?
What about the red apple?
Oh, do you remember that?
The red apple on the table?
Yeah, remember when you were taking the test? Oh, no, those for your eyes. What am I saying?
Go ahead.
Norm.
We're in school and you sat and the red apple was on the teacher's desk. I was really confused.
I get you. Okay. Yeah. Chris, what do you say? How old is Bobby Vinton?
I'm going to say 44.
44.
Okay. Chris, you're sorry you're playing, aren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah. You could have played on a day when we had some good
Chris
people.
Chris got a hangover.
Okay. Robert, what are you so... God, I have to ask him. How
52,
old do you think he is?
52. He's a youngster. He's a baby.
Just 52 will be enough. Okay. Tony?
I'm sorry. There was a little polka there.
He played the accordion also.
I'll have to say he's 54.
Okay, he's 54.
Yeah.
Okay, 54.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack, what do you say?
53.
Okay, actually he's 58.
Wow.
58. Let's see, who's the closest?
I
think maybe Tony, I think you are.
Really?
You said
Michael,
54.
Michael, what about Michael?
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Mike and Mike said 61. That's right.
Yep.
Mike was within 3 years.
Jeez.
Yeah. But you were close to. You were within four years. Yeah. So it is you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Norm.
Okay. Mike has two correct answers. Tie with Debbie, who also has two correct answers.
Lucky you, Mike.
And Jack Hart has one.
Ooh.
What's that?
Huh?
I think I just heard somebody go. Ooh.
Hey, Norm.
Yes.
The winner of the show gets a date with Debbie, right?
If that's what you want.
I really hope Debbie wins because I want to send her a new phone.
That's right. We could do that.
One that will live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Debbie should use it, too.
You remember Edie Adams?
No.
Edie Adams, she was the
Muriel
Cigar Girl. Yeah, for years. She's married to Ernie Kovacs in 1954. She married him in 1954, so think about that. That's almost 40 years ago.
Mm.
You want to determine her age based upon that. And when he died, remember, he's killed in an automobile accident. I guess he left her with tons of bills, and she went really had to work very hard. And fortunately, was doing the Mural cigar commercial at the time and was able to, I guess, dig herself out of debt. He was a very innovative, interesting man, but apparently totally irresponsible. I don't know why. I didn't never even met him. I don't know why I've got the right to say that. Okay, let's start with you, Jack. What do you think? Edie Adams.
Edie Adams. 64.
Okay, and Tony?
64.
Robert?
She was in that Little Abner thing. That's her big break on Broadway.
Was she in that show?
Yeah, she was in that show.
Oh, she was. Mm. She was Daisy. Must have been Daisy
right,
May.
Daisy.
Okay.
May.
Okay. How old do you think?
68.
Chris?
No. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. May I go back 58?
You want 58?
58.
Okay. And Chris?
I'm going to say 63.
63. Debbie?
Who is it again?
Oh, jeez.
No, talk to my father.
Edie Adams. Your father's up.
Yeah.
Is he the one helping you?
No.
Yeah, no. Oh, sure, no.
They were discussing meals. It's Edie the gourmet.
Can you?
This is Edie
Can you
Adam.
Believe he said that?
I can't believe what you're saying. We're not even talking about Edie Gourmet, and he manages to twist something around to get a bad joke in about somebody we're not even talking about. It's going out of your way to tell a really bad joke.
That the incredible ability Jack possesses in doing that, and you just haven't come to appreciate it yet, like I have.
And nobody ever laughs at anything he says, but he keeps saying it.
That's part of the appreciation. I'm always in awe of it. And I just can't bring myself to speak sometimes.
The fact that he can keep on doing it despite the fact he gets no reaction, I suppose is a talent by itself.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Debbie, I think we're with you there someplace. Edie Adams.
Okay.
She was in the Adams family too.
Yes.
Why did I say that?
Oh, say something, will you, for crying out loud.
64.
Your father didn't help you with that at all, did he?
No. He's in his room listening, and I'm just here in my room.
I see.
But yet you were talking to him.
Because he was in the hallway.
Oh.
Mike, what do you think?
I see.
Hey, I know this one. Okay. Right on the dash, he's 65.
65, okay. Okay, Edie Adams, actually 64.
Yeah!
Oh!
All right.
I'm checking two sources now, because I always do that when there's any question at all. And both sources do say 64.
The first time you ever mention something about a date and time, you always say, I hope this can help you out with an answer. That actually helped me out that time.
Son of a gun.
Certainly did, because you got it right.
The marriage to Ernie Kovacs helped me out.
That's right. Okay, good. Tony and Jack... And Debbie all got that. That means that Debbie's got three correct answers.
Come on,
Debbie.
All exact, too.
Pardon me?
And I all got them exactly on the button. Too.
Listen to her. She has no idea what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And yet she has the nerve to flaunt it.
She's cheating.
Yeah.
Debbie, you're cheating.
And suddenly when she's flaunting it, you can finally hear what she's saying for the first time.
That's true, too.
I think there are two or three Debbies there.
Yeah.
She's got PMS.
I beg your pardon. What did you say that for?
The wrong word. I'm sorry.
PBS, pre-birthday syndrome.
Yeah. Sorry, Debbie.
Okay, we'll give you one more because I'm getting sick of this whole thing. Tell you the truth.
I was sick at about 3:20.
Yeah, I think we should have never begun this.
Well, Robert's quiet down.
Let's erase the tape, wanna? And we'll say we don't remember ever doing anything like that.
Oh, whenever we do this, I always pull the tape out of the machine anyway.
Yeah. Well, good. No, it wasn't us. No, we were playing Mantovani and Percy Faith records that whole hour. Oh, yes. No, and we didn't even say anything.
I would pay good money to hear that combination sometime in the air.
Yeah, and we wanted to get the commercials on, and we got them on exactly at the right time and everything. It was really a swell hour. Okay, let's see. We can take a pick between Barry Nelson, the actor, or Herbie Mann, the jazz flute player.
What was the first one?
Barry Nelson.
No current events.
He's been in a number of Broadway musicals. Well, let me see. What can I tell you about Barry
Nelson?
The
jazz flute player?
Oh, that's Herbie Mann.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, he was Barry Nelson.
He plays the piano like Claude Thornhill.
Barry Nelson does?
Yeah.
Huh.
Claude Thornhill. Remember him?
I remember him, but he's got nothing to do with Barry Nelson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, do you remember George Washington?
That's before my time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, yeah. Robert, what'd you get for grades?
Let's get through this, and let me get on with my life. Appeared in the TV sitcom My Favorite Husband in the early 1950s with Joan Caulfield, and the miniseries Washington Behind Closed Doors. I don't have a date for that, but maybe Debbie will go with me.
Are there any history questions, and we can just pass these two guys
by? Yeah, want to forget that totally?
Yeah, like when was the water bottle invented or something?
Yeah. How about Fibber McGee and Molly, the premiere broadcast on NBC Radio? Would you want to guess the year that started?
Oh, yeah.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Sure.
Starring Jim and Marion Jordan. Oh, I know them. They were funny.
They were great.
They were funny.
The only thing we could listen to as kids, and it didn't cost us 1 cent.
What was that, the radio?
Yeah. You think you can listen to this program, and it won't cost you a penny, and that's about what it's worth right at home.
No, you're all right.
I'm all right. It's you we're complaining about.
No, the only problem is that the friend of yours from Michigan, that Weldon, every time I call him, he won't accept a phone call when I reverse.
Yeah. Well, can you blame him?
Wamp, yeah. Wamp.
Yeah, he won't accept a reverse charge. Imagine paying for a call from this gink.
Robert.
Okay, this is the last. This is the last. So let's do this and get out of here. The year that Fibber McGee and Molly made its debut on NBC Radio, it ran until 1957. And in fact, they were on television for a little bit. But they never made out too well on television. A lot of the stuff was really was not sight stuff. Okay. Like this show. Okay, let's start with, let's see. We'll start with you, Robert. What year was that?
Fibber McGee and Molly, I was a little kid listening to the old radio and turn it on. It had to be about 1936.
About
1936. In that area, 36.
1936. Okay, Debbie, what do you say? 1942, I believe I heard it said.
Yeah.
Like a little gentle wind, a gentle breeze blowing in. Just barely could hear it. 1942. Okay, Tony, what do you think?
19... Well, what the heck. For humor's sake, we need something to save the show. 1939.
I think Tony's right.
1939. You said 1936.
I know, but Tony's closer because he's radio. He knows more about radio.
Yeah. He probably knows more about a lot of things than you do, fella. I just said that because I wanted to put the knife into his back. Mike, what do you think? Mike?
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, what's up? Oh,
how you doing, God.
What a program this has been. The year that Fibber McGee and Molly made his debut on NBC Radio.
I'm asking my mother, hold on.
He's in conference.
Ma!
Ma!
Ma! What was it called again?
Ma!
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Fibby McGee and Molly.
Close enough.
Fibby McGee. And Molly G.
They don't.
And Molly B.
They don't know vaudeville.
And Peggy Lee.
And me.
Yes.
She said 1940.
1940, she said, eh?
Yes.
Okay. And Jack Hart, what do you say?
Oh, his mother can't be wrong. It must be 1940.
1940. Okay. And Chris?
1938.
Chris is just sickened by this all. You can hear it. He's close to slitting his wrists, I think.
Okay. Actually, Robert said 1936, which was the closest. It was 1935.
Oh, wow.
1935.
I know.
Way to go, Mike's mom.
Yeah, well, Tony, you said 1939.
Good try, though, Tony.
And Chris said 38, so he wasn't very far off either. Okay, that winds it up. Let me see.
Debbie wins. We send her a phone.
Yeah, Debbie wins. Yeah, Debbie Ooh. Wins. Yeah. Do we have Debbie's? Now. Do we have Debbie's name and address?
I'll get it.
Okay, hold on, Debbie. We'll get your name and address. And
hey, Norm.
Yes.
Debbie, could you use that phone?
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Anytime, Deb. What are brothers for?
True.
Does that
is that it's, is that your brother?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Wow.
Hey.
Is Mike your brother?
No, Chris.
Oh, Chris is your brother?
Yep.
Is he really your brother?
Yeah.
Is he really in Webster?
Yes.
Is he really named Chris?
Yes.
Is he really a guy?
You know who he is?
Yeah, Chris is cool.
Oh, Chris is cool. And he is your brother?
Yeah.
Okay, now you're how old, Debbie? She's going to say 46.
22.
You're 22. Now, how old is Chris? How old are you, Chris?
22.
You're also 22?
Mm-hmm.
Twins?
Well, if either that or something freaky going on.
There's some gene splicing experiment went wrong in Wellesley.
Yeah, are you twins? Hello?
Hello.
They both didn't answer. There's a sign.
They're fraternal.
Yeah. Is this on? Are you fraternal twins? Are you twins?
Chris.
Yes.
Are we twins?
I don't know. Are we? Well, let me put it to you this way, Norm.
Yeah.
I'm a few months older than she is.
There was something funny going on.
Okay. You have different mothers or fathers, I assume, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to get into which one was which. I'm really just...
Okay. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for playing the game with us, and I'm getting rid of you right away. And Robert... Say something so I can hang up on you.
Billy.
That was good. I like that.
Great.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Mike. You were fun.
Hey, Norm, thank you.
Take care,
Thank
Mike.
You very
Have
much.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. And thank you very much, Jack.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't you keep talking? I think I want to hang up on you, too. Oh. Just say something. I
can't. Oh, let me see.
Okay.
And I'll do it.
Now you can hang up on me.
Okay, no.
I'll be back in a moment, but first watch this.
A doorbell rings in an upscale Manhattan apartment. In staggers a handsome young man. He's bleeding. He's been stabbed. He says he's the son of...
Sidney Poitier. He said he knew our children, so we took him in. Gave him walking around money.
It's John Guare's 6 Degrees of Separation, a powerful story about upscale greed and downscale roots. A comedy about an incredible imposter so clever, so real, he could fool even you.
We were all going to be in Cats, the movie. You see, he said his father, Sidney, was directing the film and he needed some extras.
6 Degrees of Separation is funny, moving, and provocative, raves the New York Times. It's Broadway's best play of the year, cheers the New York drama critics.
He didn't steal anything but our names. He stabbed himself to become one of us. He envied our lives.
6 Degrees of Separation, starring Marlo Thomas and directed by Tony Award winner Jerry Zaks, begins May 4th at the Schubert Theater. Call 1-800-233-3123.
Okay, boy, if I were the management here, I would have whipped this program off the air a long time ago. Okay, time to check on the news, and we'll see what's going on throughout the world. WBZ Boston, Norm Nathan here at 4 o'clock.
I'm not sorry I didn't destroy this tape as Norm so desperately wanted. It was very funny. Before I go, I have 4 words for you. Like, subscribe, share, Patreon. Oh, and one more thing.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to have an invention or idea submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone 1-800-727-IDEA. Invention Submission Corporation, one of America's largest invention service organizations, has an inventor's kit you can have free. It contains a form for recording your invention's date of origination, plus an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Get your free kit by dialing 1-800-727-IDEA. That's 727-IDEA. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you will want this free inventor's kit. It shows you how your invention may be packaged and submitted to industry through a data bank and by various other means. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 727-IDEA.
Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Marlo Thomas, Weldon in Michigan, Percy Faith, Mantovani, Soaring Wood with the Lone Ranger, Bad Jokes, Mike's Mom, Debbie's Father, Phoebe McGee and Molly G, B, and Peggy Lee. 6 Degrees of Separation, The Schubert Theater, Inventors Everywhere, Kareem Abdul-Gorelnik, Robert from Everett, Jack Hart, and the regret-filled Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.